Welcome to the DC Daily Drop, your one-stop shop for today's important news in DC movies, TV, and comics. Here are your hosts, Tom and Zach.
Welcome to the DC Daily Drop. I'm Tom, and I'm about to review Season 2 of Legends of Tomorrow. But to do that, we have a special guest, and Jordan Valdez is here with me today. Jordan, say hello.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on, and we're going to be talking about Season 2 of Legends, like I said, reviewing it, giving our overall thoughts on it. And Jordan has recently started a YouTube channel last few months, right?
You got it, March, I think I started up.
So in this Gotham News Network, where you talk about a lot of different DC stuff, right?
Yeah, you got it. I do weekly Arrowverse reviews, and then I talk about news as it comes out and all types of stuff, movie trailer reviews. So yeah, and everything over there.
Definitely very enthusiastic and passionate about DC stuff. Can tell you've got some knowledge and some good insight onto everything, movies and TVs and everything. So that's cool to see. So I'm glad to have you on here. And,
yeah, thank you.
I guess we'll get started talking about Legends. I'll have links in the show notes, of course, to his Twitter and Instagram, and as well as Gotham News Network on YouTube. But yeah, I guess before we start with Season 2, what were your... I guess your overall kind of quick thoughts on Season 1 of Legends.
Well, my whole thing with Legends, really for both seasons, is that's a show that I just have fun with. I don't tend to feel as emotionally invested in Legends as I do in the other three Arrowverse shows, but I have so much fun with the show, really, every time I tune in. I thought Vandal Savage was a good villain for Season 1, and it made sense through the time travel stuff. I liked a lot of the characters that I brought in. Sarah was one of my favorite characters over on Arrow, so bringing her over, that was an immediate plus for me. And then also looking at Captain Cold and Heatwave were another one of my favorite parts of Season 1. Just the interactions they had, being sort of they were sort of outsiders on a team of heroes, being sort of the not exactly villains, but you know they have a villain bent. I overall really enjoyed Season 1 of Legends. Though my favorite episode was the Arrow future episode.
Oh yeah, Star City 2046 or something.
I believe that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool when we got to see future Oliver and what happens to Star City in the bad, sort of a bad timeline. Yeah, and just quickly for me, I had fun with Season 1. Like you said, it's probably not the emotional investment. It's more fun. It's definitely probably the most lighthearted of the DC CW shows for the most part, usually I would say. And I love the premise of it, like just throwing all these characters together. See what they can do, like see how they interact and just whatever, like we're screwing up time, but don't worry, they'll fix it by the end of the episode. That's kind of how it goes. And but I will say, I think it does get a little bit repetitive with the time thing, but I think that's okay. I don't think that's a big deal. I think that's just their premise, is let's go to this time, see what it's like for an episode, and then go to the next one. Vandal Savage was okay. I think that we get into Season 2. I like the villains a little bit better in this, but we probably because we have more of a familiarity for him. But yeah, I think getting into Season 2, I think Season 2 was a big upgrade for it. And I think at the start of the season, for me, this was the show I was looking forward to most early in the season out of the DCCW shows. Like, this was the one I was excited to see because I was having so much fun with it earlier in the season. What about you?
Yeah, well, I won't go. Arrow's always, even okay, through the rougher patches in Season 3 and Season 4, that's the show that I always look forward to the most. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely agree that that Legends was, even though I enjoyed Season 1, I thought Season 2 was an improvement. I mean, I think immediately when you bring in the JSA, that was something I never knew when I was going to see in live action. You bring that in, and you automatically got me hooked beginning of Season 2. And I agree with you about the villains as well. I mean, I think part of it is the fact that you have four villains versus just one, four big bads. Not you didn't have four at the beginning, but as the season progressed, you wound up with four. And not that that's always a recipe for success. I mean, you look at Batman and Robin, and they had three villains and how that panned out.
More but, isn't always better.
Right. But when you execute it well, I think it can work, and I think that that's what they proved in Legends Season 2, bringing in some fan favorite villains from both Flash and Arrow and putting them together.
Yeah, I think that was a really smart idea. So Season 2 sort of, just for anybody who hasn't watched it, it's sort of, they got this idea of the time quakes, which we eventually find out why that's being caused. But essentially, so it sort of gave us, I thought that was really smart to have a cool premise for, like, you know, why are we going to see George Washington this episode. Why are we, you know, jumping around to the Civil War? I thought that was a really cool idea to like explain it away. You know, this is why we something's wrong. Let's go figure it out.
Are we jumping into spoilers? Or are we holding off on that?
Yeah, we can go non spoilers for now. I guess for a little bit, but I just thought that was a pretty cool.
Okay. Thing. Yeah, yeah. I just wasn't sure if we were throwing that out there yet, but yeah, I agree. Just the fact that the Legends were sort of taking over the role of the Time Masters, in season two because of what happened at the end of season one, and they sort of took on a different role, sort of. They had more responsibility,
right,
on them, and I thought that worked out really well.
Yeah, and that's a cool thing too that I didn't mention, picking up off of season one. They had a greater responsibility, whereas, you know, season one they had one specific thing they were aiming for to stop, and now they're sort of responsible for all of time.
Yeah.
And so like with all those powerful characters on their team, I thought that was a smart idea.
Yeah, and you really saw them have to grow as a team as well because of that added responsibility. And I think the fact that they had Sarah as a leader in season two helped with that quite a bit, because I mean it was a plot point of season one how Sarah, under her leadership, the team it was a more cohesive unit under her leadership. And then when Rip wound up returning, then it became a thing where he had to grapple with the fact that the team actually was better. He realized that he was better off with her as a leader.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think they did a good job with that too. But yeah. So overall, I guess non-spoiler wise, I think I would say season two was an upgrade from season one. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I agree. I mean, I like season one, but yeah, it definitely stepped it up a notch.
So I'd say, you know, to people who maybe watched a few episodes of season one and decided it wasn't for them, maybe try watching season two. Try the first few episodes and it'd be worth checking out.
Absolutely. And I would say, especially if you're a fan of any of the Legion of Doom characters that they brought in, if you are a fan of Arrow, the Flash, and you want to see more of Merlin, you want to see more of Damian Dark, more of Thawne, and more of Captain Cold, then yeah, I have more reasons to check out season two.
Yeah, that was something they definitely did better also in season two. Now that you mention that, like it felt more connected, you know, pulling villains. I know Vandal Savage was introduced on the Flash and Arrow crossover, but he wasn't really a Flash or Arrow villain.
Right.
Whereas season two, the big bads, all, you know them. You know, you've got that connection to them. You already dislike them. So you, they don't have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't have to win you over in that way.
Yeah. And I thought in particular, I thought Dark in particular worked better on Legends than he did on Arrow. Just one of my, and I've said it before, I defend Arrow season four, even though it did get a pretty bad reception. But one of my complaints that I did have was the fact that they did bring in a magic based villain. I didn't think it quite fit the tone of Arrow. And you know, it's ironic because then once he came to Legends, he wasn't with his magic anymore. But I do think he fit better with the tone of Legends, and so I enjoyed him as part of the Legion of Doom in particular.
Yeah, because Arrows, you know, tended to be more grounded, you know, like you said, and then Legends, anything goes.
It's bonkers.
Yeah, like you want magic, you want speedsters, you want obviously time traveling, pretty much anything goes there. So I think for the most part they did an excellent job. You know, there's some things you notice, like you notice some of the budget restraints when fire, you know, you don't see a whole lot of Firestorm throughout this season.
They always have reasons a lot of times that Stein and Jax can't be in the same room together. But
right.
But you know, I understand that they have those budget restraints. That's something you get with TV.
Right.
And I think but when you do see Firestorm, then it's even more exciting sometimes when you actually do see him. Like in one of the final episodes of the season when he did the transmutation and he turned whatever it was into jelly beans, I remember, and I really I thought that was a hilarious scene.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely at least made it And Jackson and Stein are both, they can help the team without their powers. So it's not, and you know, you just got to suspend some of your disbelief. Like if I was in charge of the Legends, I probably wouldn't send them on separate missions. I probably want them to be, but you know, it's just one of those things you go with in TV shows, and it's not enough to take you out of the episode for the most part.
Yeah. And I think that's what I love. What I love about the Arrowverse TV shows is that it really feels to me a lot of times like I get almost as excited for these shows as I do when a new DC movie comes out. I really do. And the fact that we're like, does it have the cinematic quality in terms of like special effects and stuff that a movie does, no. But in terms of the storytelling, I really do think that they do a fantastic job in the Arrowverse. And the amount of excitement I get, even though I know sometimes like on Supergirl, I know we're not going to see that much of Martian Manhunter. On Legends, I know we're not going to see that much of Firestorm, but still, I get so excited for all these shows every week, and it's amazing to have them. So many days a week we've got these shows. Personally, I think it was better when we had Legends on Thursdays, because then I got each day of the week, it felt like I got an Arrowverse show, but, you know, still, I get so excited for these shows, so.
Well, if they throw in Black Lightning next year, you might still get 4 different days, or maybe 5 days, we'll see what they do.
That's a good point. Well, I know Gotham's moving to Thursdays next year, so then if Legends stays on Tuesdays and Gotham goes to Thursdays, and then maybe Black Lightning is a Friday show, but I know Friday shows suffer sometimes, so maybe that's not a good thing, so.
Right, but so many people watch these. I mean, very few people watch them live relative now. I mean, so many more people are watching on DVR or next day on, well, the CW app now.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's a good point.
Yeah, so the live ratings matter some, and I think all the shows sort of dropped down this year, but without knowing how many people are watching for free on the CW app, it's tough to say if that's a bad thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I worry because Constantine was a Friday show, and I don't know if that had anything to do with the fact that it got canceled after 13 episodes, so I worry because of that. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And it's a few years after Constantine now, and maybe we're at a point now where it doesn't matter as much, you know, because of all the other avenues in which you can watch these shows. So.
Yeah, and NBC and the CW are much different networks. You know. CW is very forgiving if you have a few lower rated episodes. They'll usually stick with you. They do whatever they can to not cancel you, it seems like, sometimes. So that's kind of a good thing if you want these shows to continue.
Yeah, absolutely.
But onto the characters of season 2, we were introduced to a couple new ones as the main members of the team. Amaya, who is Vixen, the grandmother of the Vixen, the animated Vixen, who showed up on Arrow, and a member of the JSA, and then Nate Haywood, who is Steel, Citizen Steel, whatever they settled on the name. I prefer Citizen Steel because I think of
Steel John Henry Irons.
John Henry Irons for Steel. So that's why I don't like calling him Steel. But so those were sort of the two new members on the team. What'd you think of them this year?
I really like them, and I'll say I did like the Hawks. Last season, I did. I'm a big fan of Just League Unlimited, or both Just League anime, I should say, Just League and Just League Unlimited, and I really came to love Hawk Girl through those series, and so I was excited about the Hawks last season, and I didn't think it was a fantastic portrayal of either one of them, but I did really enjoy them. In terms of replacements, like, I was like, well, these guys have a lot to live up to, in my opinion, because of the Hawks, and I really thought both of them were great. I actually liked this version of Vixen even better than Mari McCabe's Vixen that we saw in the animated series and on Arrow. I thought she was fantastic, and I thought that Nate Haywood added an interesting dynamic to the team as well. The fact that he was a historian, I thought that was perfect for the fact that, you know, it's a time travel show, and he can provide knowledge, as they progress through time.
Yeah, I like both of these characters too. I thought Vixen was kind of a serious, you know, very, you know, she's from the 1940s, so sort of has that old fashioned feel to sort of mix things up with the team. But you still had fun with her. She was still a fun character to watch and see her adjust to that. So that was nice. And Nate was a lot of fun too. Sometimes goofy, but that's just part of his character. You know, and he had a cool thing going on with Ray. The kind of weird, you know, almost like brothers, like sibling rivalry.
You saw that a lot in the Raiders of the Lost Ark episode where they were both big fans of George Lucas. I like that.
Yeah. So they were a lot of fun. So I was pleased with the new characters they brought in.
Yeah. I would definitely agree. And I'll ask you something. Did it feel like, I felt like Amaya was developing something with Nick halfway through the season. And I really like that because they're just the juxtapositions of their personalities really appealed to me. And then they dropped that and then had her go on this weird romance thing with Nate, though, which I didn't mind because I thought it brought up a really interesting question of like basically I think Ray brought it up, even was the idea that Amaya would wind up having to go back to her time, so they couldn't really wind up having anything permanent because of she would have to go back to her village.
Right. You know, I never saw the the Amaya and Mick thing as romantic.
Okay.
Like, I thought it seemed like sort of a friendship there that was sort of Mick is, in his own way, kind of old school. You know, like in his old, like twisted villainous way, sort of old school. So I felt like sort of a friendship where they could kind of, and he doesn't let people in. So, but they had something where they could connect with, and it didn't seem really romantic to me, but, more of a friend thing. But yeah, the thing about Nate and Amaya is when I was just writing up notes for this episode, I was thinking of explaining, okay, so we've got Amaya, who is a member of the JSA, and the grandmother of the present day Vixen is hooking up with Nate, who is the grandson of a JSA member.
Commander Stewart,
Who's from the JSA. It's just a weird thing to, it's very weird. For the most part, it was okay, but it was kind of weird if you think about it.
If they started a family, they'd have quite a weird family tree.
And they left it off there, but I'm curious to see where that goes going forward.
And I'm happy they're coming back. Like, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but at the end of the season, I was kind of curious. I thought Amaya might wind up having to go back to her village at the end of this season, but I'm really pleased because I did, like I said, like you, I really enjoy these two characters, so I am glad that they are coming back at the end of the season.
Yeah, part of me wants like a constantly rotating roster of heroes, you know, for the team. But at the same time, I didn't want Vixen or Steel to go.
Yeah. Let me ask you something then. Are there any characters on any of the other Arrowverse shows that you think would be good fits for joining the Legends?
That's really tough. Legends kind of just gets whoever they don't have room for anymore. So
yeah.
It wouldn't make sense because he's from a different Earth, but almost Guardian.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking the exact same thing. Yeah.
That might be a hard sell. Be like, well, you're going to protect the time stream, not on your Earth, but on a different Earth. But if they don't have room for him, I think he would fit in really good and be interesting. If they can make a way for it to make sense story wise. Is there anybody else you would want to see?
Yeah. Well, I was definitely thinking Guardian. And then I was also thinking, Mr. Terrific on, Arrow.
Okay.
Just because it feels like he and Felicity serve the same purpose, in a lot of ways. I mean, he does do stuff out in the field with his T-spheres, but like, and a lot of times I feel like he and Felicity, they're both the computer people. So like, I don't feel like Arrow necessarily needs both of them. And Mr. Terrific can do a lot more than just the computer stuff. So he could also help the Legends out. And I feel like I would love to see more of him. And then another one I was thinking of, this is kind of out of left field, but they introduced Red Tornado on Supergirl season one. And I know this is kind of out of left field, but I feel like they haven't done anything with him on Supergirl since then. So I was wondering if he might be somebody who maybe, I know he's another one who would have to be jumping Earths, but
well, he's a robot. He doesn't care.
Yeah, right.
that's a good point. Mr. Terrific, you know, now that you mention it, I hadn't thought of him, but yeah, there is some overlap with Felicity there. And I mean, there's not really a tech guy, you know, the classic tech sidekick. Not that Mr. Terrific's just that, but there's not really one of those people on Legends other than Gideon. That's a good point. I would be fine with that, with either of them. What about the returning characters? Anybody stand out for you in terms of you liked this season or didn't like?
I'll say this. This season, Heatwave became my favorite character on Legend of Tomorrow. I thought he was hilarious. Especially without him being with Captain Cold this season, I felt like Captain Cold was the one last season who like kept Heatwave in check a lot of times, kept his villainous side in check. And like this season, because Captain Cold was gone, Heatwave, he didn't have that. Heatwave was more of what Captain Cold was last season, where he was more tame and he wasn't completely villainous all season. We got to the end and we saw his betrayal, but I found him hilarious this season. The scene that comes back to me most clearly is it technically didn't take place on Legend of Tomorrow, but when he met Supergirl in the Flash episode of the Invasion crossover, and he cracks me up. He does. Yeah.
They did a lot. He had a lot of fun moments, fun character moments this year that I really like to see. And I thought they did, they developed him so well to where his betrayal felt out of character. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, would Mick still do this?
He always has a soft spot for Snart, though. That's the thing. I would say no if Snart weren't there. But it was the fact that Snart was there. I was like, okay, but he's always loyal to Snart, you know?
That's a fair point. And he probably wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for Snart. And he obviously comes back around.
Right.
In the end. But I was still almost surprised because they spent that whole season developing
him. Yeah. Into that's fair.
A heroic guy. So it was kind of strange that they did that almost.
And it led to one of my other favorite gags with him was when he zaps everybody back to get their memory back and then he punched him in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. Well deserved.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And yeah, the returning cast, Brandon Routh is Ray Palmer. I've always been a fan of him. I almost feel like he doesn't get enough to do on this show. You know, he's almost a support character. I actually kind of wanted him to take over as captain instead of Sarah. I thought he would have been most qualified. But I would like to see him get to do more. He was my favorite part of season 3 of Arrow.
Oh, okay.
He's,
wow.
He's almost a different character now. You know what I mean?
I definitely see. And you're right about him, I think. Not like he's being underused a little bit. Yeah. And I think that played into how this season he lost his suit for a while and he was like questioning what his role was anymore. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think I'd just like to see the confident, sort of arrogant version back to sort of help differentiate him from Nate and also just to sort of see him take a step forward and sort of, he was just a lot of fun back then. Yeah. And it seems like he's had a rough time. You know, season 1, he was bummed. He didn't matter.
Yeah.
In season 2, he was, you know, trying to figure out what he's going to be. So I'd like to see him sort of, take another step back forward.
And don't forget about him and Kendra not working out in season 1 either. So,
yeah. Poor guy. He spends 2 years with her and then she drops him.
He's had it rough.
Yeah. He has had it rough since Legends started. So I hope things start going his way more.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we talked a little bit about the villains. Legion of Doom, obviously a version of the Legion of Doom, you know, led by Reverse Flash. And we talked about it earlier, you know, we didn't get to see much of this Reverse Flash. Obviously, we saw the Tom Cavanaugh version.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to see this Reverse Flash. And so seeing him, more of him, I think this is a great idea for Legends to just reuse the villains who are almost underutilized.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we didn't see Matt Lesher Flash that much on The Flash. I thought in Flashpoint at the beginning of this season of The Flash, I really liked what they did with him. But overall, we didn't see that much of him, especially compared to Tom Cavanaugh's version, I guess you could call him, of the character.
Same character, but different actors.
Right. And I think Matt Lesher's done a phenomenal job. I think the scene that stands out to me is when, going back to Ray for a sec, when he was trapped with Ray in the Apollo episode. And they were, I think he sees evil. I really do. And I love Matt Letcher's performance as Reverse Flash. I was glad that we got to see more of him this season and seeing Merlin again too. Cause I feel like going back to why Legends sometimes is able to take characters from the other shows that don't have a place anymore. Merlin on season 4 of Arrow, I felt was a little bit, he was there, but I didn't feel like he served a purpose that much. And so to bring him over on Legends and make him part of the Legion of Doom, I thought was really well done.
Yeah. Gave him something to do other than tell people he used to be Ra's al Ghul. but you're right. And even Merlin, kind of like we talked about with Reverse Flash, they were whole season big bads, but there was so much mystery behind that we didn't really get to see them as the villains on those shows. You know what I mean? For long term. So
yeah,
I think it was a good idea to try to explore that more.
Yeah, definitely. And it was just, that's the other thing about Legends. They do so much comic book stuff, like having the Legion of Doom, having this group of supervillains that team up. I loved it. And yeah, bringing in those characters that, like, you're right. Cause especially with Merlin, there was so much mystery surrounding him in season 1 of Arrow. Then they sort of made him an anti-hero in the later seasons. But then, yeah, bringing him together, bringing Reverse Flash together, and bringing Dart together, and later Captain Cold, it was perfect. And I don't know if you caught it. Did you catch how they made, I believe it was after they rewrote history, they had like the classic Legion of Doom headquarters-looking thing in those episodes later.
Yeah. They did a lot of – you can do a lot of different things when you're kind of like The Flash, but even more so on Legends when you're just – doing whatever you want with time,
yeah.
You can do whatever you want, and And sometimes it feels like, you know, there's not as much stakes, but Legends isn't meant to be that, you know, it's meant to be more of a lighthearted thing. And, I think they still tried to have some stakes with it.
Yeah. I think the moment, like I said, Legends tends, you're right. And I agree with you that Legends tends to, I don't feel as emotionally invested in it as I tend to feel in the other Arrowverse shows, but I think that they do have moments where you do. I think back to season one, the Arrow, Star City 2046 episode. And I think back to this season, the episode, I believe it was called Abominations. Where the scene, and I think this was the most, like, such a powerful scene, maybe my favorite scene of the whole season, was when Jax burnt down the plantation, he stopped to watch it. Like, I think that they do veer into that territory of having really emotionally impactful moments at times on Legends. So,
yeah, that's a great point. That they do have it at times, like with that Jax moment in particular. Not, I'd forgotten about it, but that whole episode of him was dealing with, you know, seeing slavery and everything like that. And that was, that's a really high emotional point.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it sounds like you're loving Legends as it is. If you could change it, was there something you would like to see improved or different as we head into season three?
You know, I'm really not sure if there's anything that I'd want to see. I guess this is just me being selfish. I guess I'd want to see more crossovers, I guess. I know we got the Invasion one this year, but I feel like Legends is a show that doesn't cross over as much with the other shows. Like, we got the, in addition to the Invasion crossover with Flash and Supergirl, we got also the musical crossover this year, and then we get little crossovers between Flash and Arrow sometimes. But I'd like to see Legends crossover a little bit more with the other shows. So
that's a good point. And it's kind of tougher for Legends because they're out on a ship, they're doing their own thing. But I think, you know, maybe they could find ways to have little crossovers. I think they tried more in season one, but in season two, there was a smaller emphasis on crossovers, I would say.
Yeah. Like I said, I can't remember if this was before we hit record or not, but, how Barry Allen, I thought the Flash was going to cross over at some point, first because of the message that right. Barry left on the Wave Rider, and which we saw resolved a little bit in Invasion, but we didn't see Barry on Legends again, really. And then the other one would be just the fact that Legends moved to Tuesdays. I thought at some point they might do a back-to-back crossover of some sort. And I guess you could sort of consider last night's Flash. I know this episode's coming out later, so the second-to-last episode of the Flash Season 3, that's sort of a crossover involving Captain Cold. Sort of crossover with Legends. But yeah, I'd like to see more of that.
And that episode of The Flash showed you can kind of pull a Legend out wherever if you need them on The Flash. So I there's no reason they couldn't do that in reverse. But of course, if you pull Barry Allen in, he's kind of overpowered, you know what I mean, for most of the things there. So they've got to still make the Legends the heroes of their show. So it's a tough balance.
I'll throw in one more. I actually think though that, cause I had forgotten about this when you were asking about, what characters from other shows would be good fits on Legends. Another one, Jesse Quick, from The Flash, because I know you said that a speedster might be overpowered, but the fact is Legends went up against a speedster this season. They had some trouble with him. So maybe having a speedster of their own would be beneficial.
Right. That's one thing from Legends. They were taking on a speedster and they never thought to ask another speedster, hey, maybe should we get Barry Allen for a day, see what he's doing, and we can kind of stop this, or at least try Jay Garrick or Jesse Quick or something like that. So, but also you don't want to have two Flash-centered shows, you know. So for guest spot though, I think that would be a lot of fun for a couple episode arc or something.
Yeah, good point.
All right. Well, any other thoughts on season two of Legends?
Yeah, that's about it for me. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a little bit of an improvement over season one. I thought it was just a really fun season, seeing the Legion of Doom face off against the Legends. I thought that there were some very emotionally impactful moments within that, though. One more I do want to throw out that I forgot to mention is Sarah seeing Laurel in the season finale. I thought that was excellent.
Yeah, that whole season arc of Sarah, should she kill Dark to save Laurel, you know, that's something she went up against the whole season, basically.
Yeah.
That we didn't even mention, but yeah, that's a good point.
Thanks.
All right, well, so you're on Twitter @BatFanJordanV.
You got it.
and Gotham News Network on YouTube. I'll have links to this in the show notes and @BatFanJordanV on Instagram as well. Anything else you would like to say?
That's probably about it. I really want to thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to talk Legends today. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun talking Legends. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you bet. Take care.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. And make sure to check out DC Daily Drop on Twitter, Facebook, and DCDailyDrop.com. Drop by tomorrow for more DC news.